Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray one of the verses that we just sang. O risen Christ, God's living word, to us we pray draw near. Come, speak the truth that cleanses sin with love that conquers fear. Amen. You just heard Pastor Walther read our gospel reading. It was from Luke chapter 8. And now that you have heard it, you could probably list off several things from our gospel reading today that are completely unlike anything you have ever experienced in your own lives. In fact, as you were hearing him read that, you may have been thinking along these lines. You could start with this naked man, this man who lives in a tomb, who comes out to greet Jesus. You could mention that the fact that this man was possessed, and he was possessed not just by one demon, but by many. You could pick the fact that these demons who had possessed this man asked Jesus if they could enter a herd of pigs. Or you could mention afterwards that Jesus listens to the request of demons and grants them their wish. You could probably add that it seems odd that having wanted to go into this herd of pigs, the next thing they immediately do is run those pigs off of a cliff. I get it. There are many things in our gospel reading that do not sound normal. And for those of us who take the scriptures seriously, that they are truthful descriptions of events that have actually happened, then the events described here are not only unusual, but they are disturbing to us. Because we say that these are true, that what we read actually happened. And yet, having said all of that, I would make the argument that the most disturbing thing in the reading is something that we haven't even mentioned yet. For all of the troubling things that I just spoke of, I think these verses catch me as the most troubling, where it says, then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. These people had heard a report of a great miracle that Jesus had done. They come out to see the evidence for themselves, and they see it. They see this man whom they had all known, who they all knew was troubled and disturbed and living in a cemetery. They see that man sitting at Jesus' feet in his right mind. And what they do next is tell Jesus to go away. I think that is the most troubling thing in our reading today. And even if you haven't come across the other things that we listed earlier, this you have come across. This type of thing is not only troubling, but it is not unusual. Not even today in the world that we live in. This type of thing goes on still today. In our gospel reading, Jesus comes to the man and he turns the world right side up. And then the thanks that he gets is that they tell him to leave. And it was not as if Jesus had shown them revelations like we see in the first chapter of Ezekiel. He had not shown them four-faced angels and the wheels within wheels. He had not shown them revelations like we hear in the last book of the Bible of dragons and bowls of wrath. No, what they had seen was this man who had been previously destructive, uncontrollable, now sitting in his right mind, thankful for what Jesus had done for him. To be honest, that is a fitting description of what the church is of all times and all places. Because it is here at church where Jesus comes to us and puts us in our right minds. What we were before, who knows? probably wasn't, hopefully, as bad as the man in the story today. We may not have been possessed by many devils, but the church is full of people who have had their lives turned right side up after coming to church, after hearing Jesus' words with their own ears, after being on the receiving end of the gracious acts of God. That has happened to each and every one of us here. It is in this place that we find out not only about the mighty acts that God has done in the past, but it is here where Jesus does actions to each and every one of us in the present. And so it is against Jesus, it is against the faith that believes and clings to Jesus that the devil and the devils still fight against today. For all of the supposed backwardness of the scriptures that the world criticizes, whether it be male and female relations, or whether it be creation and how we all got here, or whether it be the miracles that Jesus did, whatever else you want to name, perhaps this teaching is what comes across most backward, if it is even taken seriously at all, that the scriptures speak of a spiritual world, that they warn against spiritual dangers, that they speak of the devil and devils. The world around us thinks that those teachings at best are bizarre, but usually and more likely, they think that these are harmful teachings. These are delusions. In this age, the fact that one of the things that Jesus does repeatedly throughout the Gospels is cast out demons. To many people listening today, that just comes across as help that we don't have a need for anymore. Now, this may start to sound to you like I'm going in the direction of watch out for the world making fun of what you believe. That is true. There is some of that here. But note that the chief obstacle for the man in our reading today was not the world. It was the devils. Do not make the mistake of thinking that the world is our chief enemy. The world is against the church. The world may be against the church more so in the years to come. But do not forget the devil and the devils. Despite what the world thinks, Jesus and the rest of the scriptures take the devil very seriously. Paul will write in Ephesians chapter 6, as he is encouraging them to be strong in the Lord and in the power of the Lord's might, he says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." We need to take seriously the spiritual forces of evil because they are the chief opponents to the faith. And our comfort, our security as Christians lies exactly in what we heard Jesus doing today in our gospel reading. He casts out devils. He is stronger than they are. He has authority over them. His words and his actions defeat them. As John writes in his first letter, chapter 3, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Now, Pastor Walther mentioned in his sermon last week about the problems that we all have in our lives and that we reach out and ask and pray to God for help. But then his follow-up question was, are you listening to God's response? God answers prayer. God speaks to us. But do we listen? Jesus tells us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or from the evil one. God is the one who answers that prayer, but he tells us to pray that way because the evil one is real. The world knows that evil is real, even if it refuses to acknowledge the devil, and the world deludes itself into thinking that it can contain or that it can do away with evil, but it has failed every single time it has attempted it. The people in our gospel reading, likewise today, they knew there was something wrong with this man. They tried to do something about it. They had chained him. They had bound him. They had tried to keep him from doing damage, but they could not. And then Jesus shows up on the scene, and immediately it is dealt with. He casts out devils, and the man is put in his right mind. But as we said, perhaps the most troubling thing is that then they see that, and they ask Jesus to leave. Now, they might have a lot of things on their mind. Maybe they have on their minds the fact that they just lost thousands of dollars when that herd of pig rushed over the cliff. I understand to a point. But when you see demon possession, what is that compared to pork? Concern for money should never drive you away from the church. It should never tell you that you should not interact with Jesus. What you receive here is better than gold. And that is the tragedy in today's gospel. They tell the Savior to get out of their lives. Let us never do the same. The third commandment, the one about honoring the Sabbath day, that is centered around hearing God's word, gathering around Jesus and what he does for us. The third commandment is about sitting at Jesus' feet and being put in our right minds. Weekly, we do not ask him to leave, rather we ask him to come, to be with us. And as we do so, as we are about to do so, let us always pray, lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one. Let us always look to Jesus, who has defeated death and the devil by his cross and empty grave. Our God is stronger. He wins. He makes things right. That is the right mind. Amen.